In our current series, we are walking our way through our church's new identity statement. Our statement is this: we are a Christian community committed to growing in faith, serving in love, living in Christ, and extending God's gracious welcome to all. Last night, I was here for our confirmation dinner, and it was getting close to 8 o'clock. Everyone had gone home. I was in my office, and this is nearing my bedtime on a Saturday night. And I look down at my desk, and I see the bulletin for this Sunday. And on the front, it says, growing in faith. I thought, oh, that must be last week's bulletin. And then I saw that it said today's date on it. And my first thought was, oh, no, I wrote the wrong sermon for today. So pardon the confusion of the front. Growing in faith was last week. Today we are talking about serving in love. And to address that, we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Let us listen together for God's word. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me. Then He will say to those at His left hand, you that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not give Me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then He will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, by the power of Your Spirit, we pray that as we hear these ancient words, we might also hear Your voice. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an expression that we use in the English language. We say, at the end of the day, and we don't mean a literal 24-hour period. We're not talking about what happens when we go to bed. When we say at the end of the day, we're using it figuratively. We're talking about the end of a period of time or the end of an effort or a project or some other sort of process that we are in the middle of but will have an end one day. And we use that expression, at the end of the day, to sort of cut through all the things that are perhaps peripheral or less important and to try to focus on what might be essential in whatever this effort is that we're participating in. It helps us to not be so distracted by all the little things that ultimately don't matter, to recognize that the only thing that really matters is the thing that really matters, whatever that thing might be. So when Jesus says at the start of this passage, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, I think we should hear Jesus saying, at the end of the day, which should make our ears perk up, because what Jesus is about to tell us is what really matters. Jesus is about to direct us to what is essential. This is very often the function of these kinds of last judgment scenes. There are other scenes like this in Scripture, and often we read them like roadmaps. We see this story and we say, okay, here's what a sheep looks like and here's what a goat looks like, and I'm going to try to be a sheep so when I get there on the judgment day, I end up on the good side of the ledger. Or we read them like a movie preview or something, where it's a glimpse of what's going to happen, high on drama, really low on the details, but we want to be sure that when we get there, when the movie ends, we're on the right side. But really, a story like this, a scene depicting a final judgment at the very end, it's more like a laser that takes all of the light of the gospel and focuses it into a single brilliant point so that there can be no mistaking whatsoever what matters. That is how we should read this story. Usually we focus on the sheep and the goats. They are just a small portion at the very beginning, an illustration that Jesus uses, one that people are familiar with then, not so much now. But it was very typical at the end of a day, a literal day, not that expression, but at the end of a day, that a shepherd would take his sheep and goats who are grazing together and separate them, because sheep are hardier than goats, and goats need better shelter at nighttime. So they'd separate them, and that's about the end of the metaphor for us. The point for Jesus is that there is a king, that is him, who is separating those on his right from those on his left. And he says to those on the right, come. You who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then comes the best part of this whole story. The heart of this story, and that is confusion. Confusion. Those who were on the right, they heard the king, Jesus, they heard him say these things, and then they looked at one another, confused. I'm expecting at this point that they're giving high fives, and they're charging right into this great kingdom that they have inherited, but instead, they hesitate. One of them speaks up and says to Jesus, there must be some kind of mistake. We never saw you hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison. And Jesus says, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. When I was in seminary, my wife was teaching elementary school, but school was expensive, so we had less than no money. We were taking out student loans, and you know, it's a period of life that is familiar to many. And one day, I got a letter in the mail from the school, the seminary, and I opened it up, and inside was a check for $1,500. That was a good day. But I had no idea why I was getting this check. I figured there was some kind of mistake. Maybe I overpaid tuition or something related to student loans. I don't know what. It can't be good news, whatever it is. And so I call the bursar's office at school, and she says, it's not related to your tuition, everything's fine, student loans are fine. And then I bump into my neighbor, my next-door neighbor, a couple days later, and he says, Bryant, we missed you at the award ceremony. And I said, what? Huh? And then I decided I'd finally check my student mailbox, which was on campus. I didn't live on campus, and I apparently wasn't checking it often enough. And sure enough, there was a letter dated about 3 weeks prior to that saying that I had won an award and that there was prize money associated with this reward. I didn't know I had won an award. I didn't even know there were awards. It was an absolute surprise to me. The sheep, those who are on the right-hand side, they didn't know that there was an award at the end of this thing. They didn't know that there was a kingdom at stake. They had no clue. They were completely surprised. But then we come to the goats. We come to those on the left. Jesus uses such strong language. You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. and then confusion part two, right? Those on the left, they look at Jesus and they say, whoa, 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 Jesus, there must have been some kind of mistake. If we had known that it was you, Lord, if we had known there was a kingdom at stake, Lord, even when the sheep realize what this great reward is, still they think there must be some mistake. And when the goats realize that they don't get what they feel they have deserved, they believe that there has been some kind of mistake. Jesus is drawing a very important contrast between these two groups. And that contrast is not who gets to go to heaven and who gets to go to hell. It's much more important than that. It's the contrast between those who serve themselves and those who serve others in love. It's a contrast between those who believe they deserve to be rewarded and those who know that they don't. And this is what loving service boils down to. Serving others for one reason and one reason only. Love. It's by coincidence, but this is a perfect day, Mother's Day, to reflect on this kind of love. Mothers, perhaps more than anyone else in our society, they invest time and energy and effort and heart and pain and love without any expectation of getting anything back out of all of that investment. And if the children somewhere down the line dare to even try to pay it back, it would be refused. Parents do this, grandparents do this, step-parents, all of those who pour themselves into the lives of those they love and expect nothing at all, nothing whatsoever in return. Many of you know that our oldest, Owen, is a swimmer, and at the end of this recent swim season, there was an award ceremony. That seems to be the theme of the sermon today. I couldn't be there, but Kristen took him, so it was just the two of them. When I got home that night, Owen was beaming, and he had this award he wanted to show me. And it said on this certificate, best attendance. And I thought, now wait a second. He's 9 years old. He's not driving. He's not making sure he's on time places. When we're at practice, he's swimming and time flies. Meanwhile, Mom and I are sitting up there just whittling away time and hours. That should have been my award. If anybody deserved that best attendance award, it was me. But of course we don't say that. Of course we don't feel that. As a parent, you don't remind your kids as you're driving to swim practice, that's 30 more minutes on the clock, son, just making sure you know how much we love you, right? That's not how it works. We want our son to be celebrated and recognized for this award, even if we are the ones who paid in blood, sweat, and tears for him to get it, because that's the point. Loving without expectation of reward, knowing that there won't be a reward. Serving in love. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God lives in us. Not if we go to church, not if we go to the right church or the right denomination, not if we believe the right things or say the right prayers or sing the right songs. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. That Greek word that's translated perfected, it means completed, it means fulfilled, it's fleshed out, it's lived out. God's love for the world is made real when we love others. Did you know you were that powerful? Did you know that you and I are capable of making the love of God real in the lives of other people? But there's a catch, a pitfall. There is a danger to this kind of love. It's the danger that's illustrated by the separation of the sheep and the goats, because the only love that counts, the only love that really is love, is the love that is given away free. Without merit, without conditions, without expectation of return or reward, without any idea that there is anything to be gained at all. Serving in love is not, taking notes, about what makes for a good sheep, so that we can make sure we end up on the right side when it's all said and done. Serving in love is not looking forward to that last day when we finally will be elevated above others who haven't worked as hard as we have. There is no greater threat to loving service than self-righteousness. Because self-righteousness can resemble love. Some people pour themselves out for others, but not in love. It is the exact opposite. It's keeping score. It's bearing grudges. It's seeking an ultimate reward that's not available to me today, but someday I'll get what I deserve. That is not love. Serving in love is recognizing where love begins. And where does love begin? That God loved us, goats that we are, that God loved us, that we have experienced God's goodness and grace. That is where love begins. And so we respond by serving in love so that God might live in us, so that God's love might be perfected through us. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what side we end up on. What matters is that the church has served in love. Let us pray. God, make us your servants. Make us your loving servants in this world, giving of ourselves freely without any expectation of return or reward, reflecting to those around us the love that you have shown to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.